Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 14 through 21. And if you're using the Bibles in front of you, you can find that on page 592. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 14 through 21. We read these words. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, your brothers, who are your blood relatives, and the whole house of Israel are those of whom the people of Jerusalem have said, they are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. Therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Although I have sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they are gone, where they have gone. Therefore say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back to the land of Israel again. And they will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and will be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable idols, I will bring them down on their heads, and they will have done, declares the sovereign Lord." Wonderful passage of Scripture and great message, and look forward to hearing what God has to say to us this morning.
Thank you so much, choir, for that beautiful song. It's one of my many favorite hymns. And you did such a wonderful job with it. Thank you. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to look at Ezekiel chapter 11 once again. I want us to consider, and we're not spending much time here. Okay, so please bear with me. But Ezekiel chapter 11, God is making a prophecy to Ezekiel, and he's talking about an amazing thing that he is going to be doing for the children of Israel. The children of Israel are being exiled and sent throughout the world. And God is, in this particular passage, promising a time when he is going to join himself together once again with the nation of Israel, and that he is going to uniquely touch them by injecting himself into their lives in a fresh and a new way, in a way that they had not experienced. And in fact, he's talking about the fact that there's going to come the time when the children of Israel will not have to worry about the law and having all of the law structure before them, because God will take the law and he will write it inside of them. And he'll place within them, and this is the key and the secret, he'll place within them a new heart. A heart that is alive for him. A heart that is fresh. A heart that beats for the passion of God. You see, that hasn't really been a part of the nation of Israel's existence to this point. There have been times in their existence where they were up and down and up and down. Times when they sensed national loyalty. There have been times when they experienced even spiritual highs. But the presence of God dwelling them, indwelling them, and filling them with His essence was not there. And so consequently, God continually became a God on a shelf that they would give a wink and a nod to while they went their other directions. And since His presence wasn't in them, they didn't have a difficult time chasing after other gods. And that's what led to the dispersion of the children of Israel throughout the world, through their nation being taken away. But now God comes to this moment in time to Ezekiel, and he says this in verses 18 and 19. Well, verses 17, 18, and 19. Therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I shall give you the land of Israel. When they come there, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it, and I shall give them one heart, and shall put a new spirit within them, and I shall take away the heart of stone out of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people, and I shall be their God. This is an amazing moment. And as Ezekiel is getting this word from God, his heart had to have been filled with hope and with optimism and a looking forward, even though he was crushed over the disobedience of the nation of Israel. Although he was crushed over the fact that the people always seemed to wander and never really kept their home in God. But this amazing moment of promise made his heart expand and leap. Because Ezekiel was a prophet who hungered after God, who wanted God above all things to be the supreme leader in his life. Now we come from the moment of this prophecy to a time, years and centuries later, when Israel has done its worst. They've taken the very Son of God, they have crucified Him, but death couldn't hold Him. And then, as Jesus breaks forth from the tomb and he meets for 40 days with various influential disciples, approximately 500 of them, as he meets with them and encourages them and he ascends back to his Father, there comes the moment when God revisits in the person of the Holy Spirit as he falls on the day of Pentecost and begins this heart of flesh beating in man, where God comes and indwells man. You see, that wasn't the previous experience of mankind. The Holy Spirit would come on people for works of service, but not literally indwell them. That's why when Jesus talks in the Gospel of John chapter 17, before he's crucified, he says, if I go away, I will send another, and he shall be with you and shall be in you. And you see, on the day of Pentecost, that was the great change that took place. And we're beginning to see the fulfillment of Ezekiel, where God purifies the heart and makes it alive and makes it breathing and makes it beating with the heartbeat of God. But there's something else that takes place in that time. God gives you the opportunity to have a heart of flesh, of His heart to beat in you. He gives the open door for a new heart. Folks, what an amazing gift God has given. There was a time, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where Jesus began to talk about this new experience. He's meeting with a religious leader of that time. His name is Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. And you know the whole story, and we've talked about it here often. And he talks about the idea that Nicodemus, even though he's a religious guy, even though he's a Pharisee, he understands all of the law, he doesn't have a heart that beats with the heartbeat of God. And he talks with Nicodemus, and as Nicodemus is asking him the question, what gives you this authority, this power to do these amazing things that you do? And Jesus said, it's simple, you've got to be born again. If you're born again, you can do this kind of thing too. And Nicodemus is just kind of taken back by that, and he said, I'm an old man. I certainly can't re-enter my mother's womb and be born again, can I? Jesus says, no. You got to understand, Nick, we're not talking about the birth of the body. We're talking about the birth of the Spirit. Don't be amazed that I tell you, you must be born again. That stony heart has got to be taken care of, and a heart that beats for God must be its replacement. And you see, that opportunity is given to each and every one of us. That fresh chance at getting a new heart, one that is not drawn towards sin, one that is not drawn towards all rebellion and rejection of God, one that is not drawn towards evil, but instead has a heart beat for God that really wants to have a relationship with Him. A heart that can be broken over sin and passionate towards righteousness. A heart that beats with a brand new purpose. Before Christ enters our life, we are a people that has a hardness against God. All of us. According to the book of Romans, chapter 3, the 23rd verse, it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All, everyone, has fallen short of God's glory. And because of that falling short, there's a penalty that we're going to have to pay. And according to Romans 6:23, that penalty is eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death. And that is referring to that eternal separation from God. You know, far too often, we miss the point of what God is doing through Jesus Christ. And when we miss the point of what God is offering us in life, our heart becomes a little harder. The deeper we walk in sin and we walk away from God, the harder our heart gets. And it gets to the point of where our conscience is, as Peter put it, is as like seared with a hot iron. And then suddenly sinful behavior doesn't affect us anymore. We no longer are broken over the sin of our lives. And our heart becomes hard. For the wages of sin is death. It is spiritual death. It is spiritual separation from God. And while we are in that condition, if we die, we are eternally separated from God. And there is no hope. Now, the good thing is that Romans chapter 6, verse 23 doesn't stop there, because it goes on to say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. In other words, God doesn't want us to die and be eternally separated from Him. He wants us now to have a fresh beating heart for Him. He wants to forgive us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to take out a heart that is bent towards sin and give us a heart that beats for the righteousness of God. He wants us to have a heart that beats towards truth and honor in Christ, so that we might be able to have life. A brand new heart. A heart which has been cleansed by the Spirit of God. A heart that beats with the power of God. A heart that reaches with the purpose of God into our world. What kind of a heart beats in you? Is it a heart that is really unconcerned with righteousness? If it is, it's a heart of stone towards the things of God that needs to be removed. Do you have a heart that hungers for righteousness, for truth? Do you have a heart that hungers for an intimate relationship with God? Because you see, that's what God wants with us. He wants a relationship with us that is as brother with brother. Now, you see, as this promise was made to Ezekiel, and there is yet to be a fulfillment of a part of this promise, in that the nation of Israel, even though they've been restored, they've not gone through this complete part of removing from them the detestable things and all of its abominations in verse 18. They haven't had that opportunity yet. They are in the process, if you will, of doing this. And we're going to see some amazing things in the coming days, in the coming months, in the coming years, if God so tarries. But the nation of Israel is going to get that heartbeat for God. That fulfillment of promise made to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 33. That fulfillment of promise made to Isaiah. The fulfillment of promise made here to Ezekiel, where God will restore them and renew them. And the world is going to reject that. The world is going to become so offended at the passion of the people of Israel that they're going to do everything they can to destroy them. And then God will fight for them. They don't have yet the heartbeat of God. They don't have yet the heart that beats of flesh. They're still involved in the old stoniness of ritual. They haven't quite reached that point where God indwells them with all of his love and with all of his power. But they're going to get there. You see, folks, this world today is turning its back on the nation of Israel, and that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. In fact, these United States are turning our backs on the nation of Israel. And that's a dangerous thing, because we are going to invoke the retribution of God if we turn our back on them. The promises made, I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you, is an eternal promise that God made with the nation of Israel. Now, when the rapture of the church takes place and the church is gone, all of the nations will turn their back on Israel, do everything they can to try to destroy them. But by then, they'll have hearts that beat with the flesh of God. They'll have living hearts that hunger for God. And they're not going to listen to what the world has to say. They're going to stand up for truth. They're going to stand up for righteousness. They're going to stand up for their relationship as the chosen people of God on this earth at that moment. It's going to be an amazing thing. But I don't want to be here. I want to be gone. I want to go to be with the Lord before that time happens. I want to go when the trumpet of Christ sounds and we are removed from this world. I don't know what you want. This world doesn't have anything that's worth holding on to. When you compare it with what God wants to give to those who will hunger for Him. How does that hunger happen? Behold, don't be surprised when I say to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. We're born again very simply by repenting of our sins and acknowledging that we have done wrong. The Bible tells us that we have, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us has committed sins. Every one of us. I don't care how perfect you think you are. At some point in your life, you have committed sin. Perhaps you're involved in sin now. Then you have to acknowledge that before God. And realize that that sin that you commit hurts a passionate God who loves you very much. As a parent, one of the things that just kind of tears at your heart is when you see one of your children in disobedience. Disobeying. Perhaps it's the rules of the home. Perhaps it's the rules of society. Perhaps it's the rules of the school district. Perhaps it's the rules of whatever, but they're walking in disobedience. That just kind of tugs at you. And it breaks your heart. And you know, it's the same thing with God towards us. When we walk in disobedience to Him, when we commit sin, that breaks the heart of God. And that tears at Him. And He reaches to try to bring us to a point of repentance. We have to recognize our sin. We have to repent of our sin. Have a genuine godly sorrow that acknowledges, God, You're right. I'm wrong. You're the one who has made the rules. I am the one who must follow them. Your rules are for my good and for my safety. My rules can bring destruction and separation from you. And we have to repent of those things that we know are wrong and go against the character and the nature and the law of God. And that's called repentance, a true godly sorrow for what we've done. So we have to recognize we have sinned. The Bible tells us we all have. We need to repent of those sins. Tell God we're sorry. Be broken over the things we've done that have hurt Him. And that's the best description of sin that I have. It's anything that hurts God. Anything that hurts Him is sin. And we need to tell God how truly sorry we are for that and be willing to turn our back on the things that we do that are wrong and seek His nearness and His forgiveness and invite Him to come into our life and to take control, to put in us a heart of flesh that beats after the righteousness of God. But we can only do that, folks, if we believe that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. If we believe that Jesus Christ has died for us, that He has rose from the dead, and that He's going to honor and fulfill His promise of coming back for those who love Him and those who are seeking Him on a daily walk, those who have a heart that beats for God. And you see, if we don't believe those things, then our faith is futile. Doesn't matter. But if we do believe that Jesus is the Christ, He is the Son of God, and we have confidence in asking Him to come into our life, He has promised He'll do that. Anyone who comes to me, He said, I will in no wise cast out, but I will come in. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and have fellowship with them, and them with me. He stands at the door and knocks. He wants entrance into our lives so that we can have a new heart. And He'll clean up the messes. He will clean up the rottenness on the inside and replace the rottenness with Himself and with a heart that beats for Him. What's your heart beat for? Does your heart beat for God, or does your heart beat for selfishness? For self-centeredness, for self in general. What's more important to you, your relationship with God or sinful behavior? Today, you can have a heart of stone taken out and a heart of flesh put in. You can have the very Son of God indwelling you with all authority and with all power. You can have the Spirit of Christ Himself who will teach you and guide you and lead you into all righteousness. All you have to do is open the door and invite Him in. And He's promised, I will come in. Any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, have fellowship with him, and he with me. Where are you at? Are you walking in faith in Jesus Christ? Or is God just a burden to you? Where are you at? I encourage you, take this moment and give your life to Jesus Christ. Find a future. A future of the presence of God forever in your life. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to please take your hymnals. Open up to number 525. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know what, I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior, but boy, I sense Him speaking to me about the things in my life that need to go. Those things that I know are wrong, and I want to give Him my life today. If that is the cry of your heart, I encourage you to come out, kneel here at this altar. Someone would be thrilled to pray with you and to lead you into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that opportunity is here. I invite you to come as we sing number 525 and let the cleansing fountain of God purify your heart and give you hope. Number 525, I will praise Him. If God is speaking to you, don't push Him aside. You step out and come.